So our text is from Romans 15, these words, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't think that many of us would argue with the idea that we are the products of our past. We are the products of our past. Our past, it is, that has shaped us. Our past, it is, even yet today, which defines us. Genetically, of course, there would be no argument that could be made whatsoever. Our genes, our genetic makeup came from our parents back in the day and no one else. And what we know, our education, commenced when our parents first began to talk to us, perhaps while changing our diapers. It continued on in our family environment with siblings, perhaps, and friends and relatives. And then our schooling certainly shaped us. Our teachers, each of them, giving us a tiny bit of themselves, the knowledge which they imparted to us. If we traveled with our families or moved from one place to another, leaving friends behind, good friends, and being forced to make new friends, we were somehow shaped in that fashion by the different environments in which we lived. And what about experiences like being members of a team, or band, or club, or a troop? Maybe we were part of the military even. Found ourselves stationed in a far-flung corner of the world, doing this and that and the other thing, or even just trying to survive from day to day to day in combat, witnessing and experiencing the horrors of war with our own eyes and ears. Physical problems, diseases, broken arms and legs and collarbones, scars of one length or another. And how about our relationships? Sure, we've experienced a lot and we've learned a lot and we've suffered a lot physically one way or another throughout our lives, but how about the wounds of our psyche, our soul, personal relationships, parents, children? They've all shaped our insides in one way or another. Sometimes I think we're even more scarred on the inside than we are on the out. Okay, enough. I think there's enough evidence to demonstrate how our past has defined each and every one of us, how our past has shaped and molded us, how our past has made us who we are today. And that being so, is that where we find ourselves living? Is that where we find ourselves living? Living in our past, especially this time of year? For do we find ourselves every December awash with nostalgia, thinking of Christmases past, of white Christmases just like the ones we used to know? Do the traditional programs on television like Frosty and the Grinch and the Charlie Brown Christmas Special, Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, even It's a Wonderful Life, do they take us back to our childhoods? Take us back to our past, if only for a few moments, so that we can revisit that which shaped us and that which we realize is gone, gone forever from our lives. It's very, very easy to do, even extremely appealing, especially, especially if we find ourselves despising, yes, despising the present. That is, hating the world as it is right now. Constantly bemoaning and bewailing all that it is and should not be. The crassness, the utter disregard for our Creator and the way we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The destruction of families as life in society today seems to be nothing but a gauntlet of sin and evil and wretchedness, hypocrisy, narcissism, and denial. We need a little Christmas. Right this very minute. And we need that Christmas because we need somewhere to go. Somewhere to hide. Somewhere where we can feel safe from the world around us. And so we head via our Christmas celebration to our past. In our hearts and minds. If only for a few weeks, somehow blunting what this year's Christmas lacks with the memories, the wonderful memories of Christmases past. There we are safe. There in the past. For that's a place where only we can go and be by ourselves in solitude. If only it were that easy. For when we head to our past to find a refuge from our present, what do we also run into there? We run into our stupidities, don't we? Our embarrassments, our mistakes, our faults, our sins that also have come to define us, that is who we are today. Indeed, our trips to the past this time of year in the hopes of finding some sort of solace can be quite short-lived. As when we do go there, what do we find? Forgotten pictures and boxes of stuff and broken pieces of this and that, all of which are reminders of events of our past that we'd rather forget. So what can we do then? What can we do? If we truly want to flee the present, but when we flee the present to the past, we run into ourselves. And then we can come to realize that as the past has come to define us, being defined by the past, we generally tend to live there. To live in the present by living in the past, we are what we were. We are right now what we were. And we are what we did. And we are what we failed to do. And this is a big hole to climb out of. And even though we may have tempted to do so in one way or another again and again and again, it just seems like we end up sliding back down to the bottom of that hole. Realizing we are what we were. And yet, there is in Christ another way to live. For in Christ, as our text tells us this morning, in Christ we cannot live in the present by living in our past. Wallowing in our past. Our past being that which defines our present. For in Christ, we live in the present by living in the future. We live in the present by living in the future. And our future in Christ, this is what Holy Scripture calls hope. We live in Christ not in our past, but in hope. But here there is a great misunderstanding, so I want you to listen up. We've had a hard time grasping what it's meant to abound in hope. Or being blessed by the God of hope. The problem, we understand hope to be a yearning on our part for something to happen in the future with the full and certain realization that it just might not happen. In fact, there's a great chance, so our thinking, for the thing we want to happen not to happen. And so we hope then that it will happen. We always, for example, hope that the Vikings will win. We hope that a friend or relative comes through surgery in good shape. We hope that our relatives will get home safely at Christmas time. But in all of these cases, however, our hope is a yearning for that which might not be. And so when we hear about the God of hope, It can be easy for us to think of God as promoting some sort of pie-in-the-sky type thinking, a Christian living in hope, being one who's always expecting the best, but preparing for the worst. But such a hope that fully expects that it will not be fulfilled is not the hope of the God of hope. It is not the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the hope of the Holy Spirit. For the hope of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a sure and certain knowledge that what we've been promised by our Lord and Savior Jesus will indeed come true. Such a hope is not pie-in-the-sky thinking. It's living, knowing that what we've been promised through Christ, the forgiveness of sin, life, salvation, the overcoming of death, eternal bliss with all those who have died in the faith, and on and on and on. The hope of Christ is a life lived with a sure and certain knowledge that our future in Christ is assured. So we read in Hebrews 11, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The hope of the Christian is one of assurance. The hope of the Christian is one of conviction. And because it is so, because faith holds on to Christ with both hands, knowing that Christ has taken on all of our sin and he's given to us all of his righteousness, faith is a life that is lived in the future. A life lived looking forward to our future, living with our future assured even in the present. And can that make that big of a difference? Can it? Well, think back. Think back to the seventh game of the World Series way back in 1991. Twins versus Braves. 10 innings. Ending, as you all know, in an epic victory for the Twins, 1-0. Do you remember watching that game? Do you remember what you were thinking as you watched it? Were you hoping the Twins would pull it out? It was a nail-biter. And you really didn't know which way the game would go. But now you do. Now you do. Now if you went back and rewatched the game, you could do it with peace. Peace, because you know what the outcome will be. Now if you went back and rewatched the game, you could do so in joy. And you could do so in joy because you know what the outcome will be. Now, instead of the Twins defeating the Braves for a World Series victory, think of Christ defeating Satan. Think of the life of Christ defeating death. Think of eternal life instead of eternal death. And in so doing, you get the picture of what our text is saying when we read, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." That is, you may abound in your heart and soul and mind, looking always to the future, to the return of Christ in the last day even. Christ coming to rescue us from the world around us, that is, to ransom captive Israel, which mourns in lowly exile here. For captive Israel, it's us. Captive Israel is us. We're surrounded by the world in all sorts of sin and hate and shame and discouragement, and that's not going to change until Christ returns on the last day. And sure, it's very easy in the situation in which we find ourselves to wring our hands and shake our heads and wish to run somewhere and to hide somewhere, to somehow find a place within the world that's not so worldly. But the world is where we are, and the world is where we live, and the world is where we dwell. And so the only solution to our reality in the world right now is the Christ of hope. The Christ who tells us not to look to our past and not to look even to our present, but to live in the present by looking to the future. When I worked at Taco Bell this summer after my senior year in high school in 1984, I worked with many people who had worked there for years already and would continue to work there, and they would do so not because they wanted to, not because they loved working at Taco Bell or they loved the people there, not because they loved their hours, but they continued to work there because they had to. And they had to because they needed the money. Jobs in Colorado in the early 1980s were extremely scarce. And I didn't like it either. But I too needed the money for college. But I was different because I knew I was leaving. I knew come the end of August, that was it. I was out of there. And so I lived throughout that summer looking toward the future. And looking toward the future, I could live in that present. That was living in hope. But Pastor, you might be thinking, you don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've done in the past. It's not easy to let go of the past, not to live in the past. It's not easy to think of myself or my life in a different way. If I stop living by dwelling on the past and who I am in the present because of the past, who will I even be then? What will my identity be? Well, your identity will be that of a redeemed child of God, living in hope, daily experiencing the peace and the joy that such hope of an assured future brings to you. So go ahead, try it. Try living in hope.